This episode of WDW Today is brought to you again by our good friends at Away Travel. And you heard my story just from a couple weeks ago. Or was that last week, Will?
It was 2 weeks ago, I think.
2 weeks ago with me running through the airport looking like a crazy person, but holding very gently, caressing this very...
Cradling
this light... Well, once it was over my head, lightweight bag that is amazing. Durable, and you can get them at awaytravel.com. Remember, their carry-ons, they even have USB ports with enough to charge your phone a couple times. And what I've actually found really interesting is if you stay at like a hotel, sometimes you're at a hotel, you're like, I can't find the plug's like behind the desk there, and you gotta move furniture. With this, if you fully charge your bag, you can keep charging your phone on it, and you can use that instead of, you know, reaching around. So it's like an extra,
you have those,
extra
like,
bonus.
You have the weirdos that like hug the corner, you know, like sitting there, all looking at their phone, trying to be cool, but they're like touching strangers.
Airport. Yeah, yeah. I was talking about a hotel. Yes.
I'm talking about in the airport.
The airport.
You don't have to be one of those.
There's just a random stranger in a hotel room. Something else is wrong.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm not going to say that hasn't happened.
But your Away Travel bag will come in handy in either occasion.
Yeah, both occasions.
Mine, though, I use it every time I travel now. I am loading it up for my trip to Orlando when I leave tomorrow, and I can't wait to go because I know everything except for, you know, I'm going for a week. So obviously, I'm going to get one of their full-size bags as well. But that carry-on, they do have awesome full-size and all different options. I'm going to get one of those carry-on luggage pieces I have. I already have one.
Yeah, I need another one.
And I'm going to fill it up with everything I need, and I know all my essentials will be right there. So you know what? Just in case your luggage gets lost, something like that, you can get everything you need right there in your Away Travel bag. They have a proprietary lock system, which is very cool, that the TSA approved. It's great. Starts at $225. But if you use the promo code WDW20, that's right. So you go to awaytravel.com/WDW20.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you go to pay... You put in the code WDW20. Not only does it save you $20, it tells them you heard about it right here. So again, awaytravel.com/WDW20. Use the promo code WDW20. And now, on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, April 5th, 2017, and this is episode 1558 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
Can I say something real quick?
It's the first time I've ever nailed it.
Very proud of you, Logan.
I actually...
Normally, and you guys don't see this or hear this because Logan's like, oh, crud, what was it? What's the date? It's this. Okay, it's Wednesday, April... Oh, wait, what was the episode number again? And we do it like 3 or 4 times, but you nailed it and didn't even have to ask.
That's because I had we're actually broadcasting this live to our producers club. So if you're part of the Patreon group and you're in the higher level, it's only $10 a month. They just got done helping us pick the next 4 episodes of WDW Today, pending any news or breaking, anything happening. And they're watching this show live right now as we do it. So again, welcome to everyone who's watching on the producers club. If you guys have a comment related to this topic, let us know. And this topic was picked by one of our producers.
It was. This was picked by Brandon White. And Brandon had a really good idea. And it's a little bit of kind of like the armchair Imagineer style, like what would we do? But it is the...
people like those.
I'll go ahead and read it. And these are Brandon's words. So, realistic attractions that you wish Disney would add, and which IPs, which is intellectual properties, deserve an attraction, and what would it be like? So there's kind of some layers to that we can get into.
All right. Who wants to take the lead on this?
I've got a couple ideas.
All right, go ahead.
I'd love to see a Mary Poppins-based attraction with the comeback of the movie.
Yeah.
Maybe something like where you're... In my head, it's a lot like the Ratatouille attraction.
I've never done it.
Where it's you're moving and experiencing a scene with screens and props. And maybe you're experiencing the rooftop scene in Mary Poppins. You're flying with the, you know, the umbrella.
Yeah, there's a, not to cut you off, there's a really good version of this Mary Poppins ride that Tony Baxter did to pitch to get his job. And you can find, they put it out maybe last year, where you started on a carousel, and then when you got to a certain point of the carousel, the horse took off on a track on its own.
Oh, that's cool.
And you went through all the scenes from Mary Poppins. Something that would have been awesome, but yeah, no, I love that one.
I feel like that is... One, because Mary Poppins obviously was old school Disney magic, but with the attention that is returned to the Mary Poppins franchise and things like that, starting with Mr. Banks.
Yeah.
And
like the 50th anniversary.
You know, right. And all those things. I feel like that is a way you could reincorporate some of that good old school Disney magic.
Because Mary Poppins now, they play it every Christmas or every, it's become a new tradition on TV now, like you would Charlie Brown Christmas. It's either on Christmas or Thanksgiving. Someone in our producers club I know knows. I don't watch it because it takes about 80 hours to watch it on TV with commercials. Because that movie, I love it. And y'all know my, you know, somewhat relationship with Dick Van Dyke. That is a long movie. And when you add commercial breaks into it, it's long.
I just imagine you walk into the queue. Maybe they bring Tom Hanks back to reprise his Walt Disney role. And you start the ride in Walt's office. You're in there, they're making the movie, they're talking about it, and you bust through the wall, and you get to kind of experience the story. And
like the great movie ride.
Yeah, that kind of, but, you know, more somewhere between the Ratatouille ride and Peter Pan, you know, where it's, you're using kind of the, you're flying, you're physically moving through a vehicle, but you're also, there's screens, and there's so many magical moments in that movie that I think, you know, I just imagine that with the new version, who knows what they're working on for the reboot or the sequel or whatever they're calling it, but you know, some Lynn songs.
He doesn't do any of the songs in it.
He doesn't do any of the songs.
He didn't write any of the songs.
Oh,
performing some songs. It's written. I forget who the guys who wrote the music, but it's not him.
Oh, the Sherman Brothers.
No, the new music. One of the reasons. I know that originally Dick Van Dyke and some of the old school guys weren't super on board with this was because there was no Sherman Brothers and no Walt, and you know, could they really do it well again? But I think they've all gotten on board now after reading the script, and I've heard it's awesome.
All right, you want me to go, or do we need to talk a little bit more
Ron
about
Ron said,
the Poppins?
Fun fact, the first soundtrack ever released was not by the original cast, but by Mary Martin and the Do Re Mi Children's Choir in 1964. I have that one on vinyl. I have both of the versions on vinyl, so there you go.
All right, you want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so I actually mentioned this last week. It like popped in my head, and I thought it'd be great. And so that's why I'm looking at this question in layers, because the first thing he said was realistic attractions. This one I don't think is realistic, but I think it's an IP that deserves an attraction, and the people will be speaking.
Oh, you just got real loud at that one.
Whoa. Sorry.
It deserves it.
Brother Bear.
No, not Brother Bear.
Listen here, Brother Bear.
Rescuers Down Under, Animal Kingdom.
I like this idea.
How to weave in like conservation and anti-poaching into the Animal Kingdom park. And so add an Australia area, bring in some kangaroos, bring in some animals, but then also have a Rescuers Down Under ride of some sort that is like stopping McLeach and saving the Golden Eagle.
Yes.
All right.
And I was actually talking with somebody last night. There is a very definitive space available for Australia.
Ooh.
If you were to look at an image of the Animal Kingdom, if you were to kind of look at if you're facing the very back of Animal Kingdom, and on your left is the safari and the Rafiki's train, to the right is the raft ride, and you're staring, and you just walked over the bridge, and Flights of Wonder?
Flights of Wonder, yeah.
There's a massive area behind there that if you look on Google Maps, completely blank, completely open. Honestly, I don't know why they didn't put Avatar there.
Yeah.
Because it's bigger than the area that it's in.
Because they're going to put Australia there and yeah, have the Rescuers Down Under ride.
I think it's a brilliant idea. I think Australia.
You get to be, you're the mice. You're Bernard and Bianca, and you're on the albatross, Wilbur. That's the ride. You're in a bird. Oh my gosh.
Forget the Banshee. I want to ride an albatross.
It's pretty much Flight of the Banshee.
Yeah, but you're a mouse.
Right, got
way
it.
Better.
But it's not a
Ratatouille on
Albatross Air, a fair from here to there.
I kind of will stick in a similar theme. I think that with the reboot of DuckTales, I would like to see a DuckTales attraction. I think there is a place for that. Or you know what? To be honest, I think there's a lot of their television properties that Disney doesn't touch, including some of the Disney Junior stuff that just doesn't get the. Maybe it's just because the audience is a small window of what you can really do. But they either don't get enough love in updating or they don't get enough love in the actual production. But when it comes to Disney Channel productions, including the old school ones, like they just re-released all the games. So you can now on your Xbox One, you can download the old DuckTales game and Tailspin and just Darkwing Duck, all those games that were available are now are back. And with DuckTales coming back, I'd love to see some sort of, I'd be willing to bet they do something, but what they don't want them to do is what they did with the Lion Guard, which you remember last year with the Lion Guard.
Oh, this is how you get Logan upset.
Lion Guard is that they did like a scavenger hunt through Animal Kingdom, which I was like, that's awesome. My son will love that. Fast forward maybe 3 months.
If that.
I'm looking around. I don't see these statues. Can't find anyone. I talked to someone and said, oh, yeah, that was limited time. We pulled that. It was up for like the month of February when no one was there. And there were statues they could have left there. And that really made me mad. And so that's why my son hates the Lion Guard now. No, that's not really why. He kind of he doesn't hate it. But I do see he doesn't love it as much as he did. I will say that.
And
I'll
you know
honest.
What? He'd probably still be sold on it if he had gotten to see those statues.
But one update, I'm sure. One update, though, I would like to say when it comes to those Disney Junior things is they don't. Two gripes I have. Number one, your character dining for your Disney Junior characters. Okay, Sophia, big character. Doc McStuffins, big character. Jake and the Neverland Pirate, it's a pretty big character. Handy Mandy, what's he doing there?
What language are you speaking right
what's
now?
What's Handy Mandy doing there? When can you even watch that? I don't even know if it's still on. Sorry, what's his name?
Like I said, what Handy language Mandy. Are you speaking right now?
What's his name from That 70s Show? He played Fez on That 70s Show. Wilder Valderrama. Thank you, Matt. I'm sorry.
I told you, he needs to be on the show.
He does. There you go. I don't know. That always kind of is one of those weird. And one weird other part. And maybe because they don't want to cause mass chaos among toddlers. The Disney Junior show does not end with the hot dog dance.
Oh, yeah. You told me that. Yeah.
They do it's like the build up to it. And then like it leaves you with some other random song no one's ever heard. Everyone else gets their due. Doc gets all her songs. Sophia gets all hers. Jake, the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. And I am curious if it's that. If it's they know every kid would stand up and all heck would break loose.
Maybe Disney doesn't own the rights to the hot dog song.
Who wrote that? Might be Giants wrote all those songs.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe they don't want to pay the mechanical royalties or whatever they're called. Is that a thing?
That's the thing.
Am I using the right term in that situation?
That's what you have to pay animatronics when they perform songs.
Oh, yes.
mechanical royalties.
Yeah. All right, going to take a quick break again to tell you about our friends. And they are. Because your bag becomes your friend when you've been away travel pack. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but you heard the story that I had last week of lugging it through the airport when I had to run to make my flight. And it was a great experience. But what also I've had is it for my kid. It's super lightweight. So for my son, I got him an away travel bag. And he can use mine. You also get a variety of colors. I have black, you can get green, you can get red, you get a lot of different
options. I wanted to say that because we've said, oh, you're like, I like the green one. I have a black one. Yeah. I'm like, I like the navy one. Which are all very like men's colors, I feel like, to some degree. They have 9 colors. Like, right. It's not just those 3. That
9 colors, 4 sizes. That's the carry-on, the bigger carry-on, the medium, and the large. All cost less than $300. And with our coupon, even less. You go to awaytravel.com/WDW20. You use that promo code WDW20. You get the $20 off. It also has that, I know you guys like it. When you're in the airport, it's got the 360 motion on the wheels.
Yeah, I like that.
So you can kind of spin it everywhere. I like to do like little tricks. Uh-huh. I know people are like, oh, it's great for going down the aisle. And it's perfect for going down the aisle when you're in the airplane. But I also like to just kind of show off. Because you always see the one
guy.
You
can't juggle. So your like parlor trick is spinning your bag 360.
Spinning it and kind of like I don't even have to look. I just spin it and stop it. You look real cool doing it. At least I think I look cool doing it. And I always look at those guys, those old two-wheelers. And I kind of shame them.
Yeah, remember we actually saw some old two-wheelers the last time we traveled, the time that you ran through the airport with your
right
bag.
Before that happened.
And we were like, you know, they've seen a car. Like, well, and what? Why were they like, oh, let's make a baggage like an ox cart. Like you're dragging just a farm animal pulling through the airport, your luggage.
So heavy.
You can have a 4 wheels like an automobile.
Right.
It makes a lot more sense distributing. There's physics involved.
Right, exactly.
Distributing the friction to 4 wheels instead of 2.
But again, for overpackers like me, you can fit everything you need because their interior compression system, that's just a cool way of putting it, but I'm not going to lie to you. I'm reading this off of a note here.
I really like the fact that you called yourself an overpacker because I actually was going to be like, you're kind of an overpacker, and you were able to fit everything.
And fit everything, yeah. It also is great. It tightly buckles in bulky items to the spot. I even put, like, my computer, because it's my carry-on. I don't take a computer bag with me anymore, or a laptop bag. I carry everything in my away travel bag.
And it feels safe in there.
And it does. You know, totally secure. Right. Comes with a lifetime warranty also, so if the bag has any issues, something breaks, you just they'll fix it, or they'll replace it for life. It's also a risk-free 100-day trial. So if you don't like it, any point, return it, get a full refund. They're not going to ask you questions. They're not going to say, why didn't you like it? What's wrong with it? No questions asked. And again, you know I've had amazing personal experiences with it. And I'm going to this week. I'm packing up tonight to head to Walt Disney World. I know a lot of you do each and every year, if not multiple times, like me. And like Terry, he goes like, I don't know, every couple days.
Yeah.
He's there like every other week. So we all use our luggage.
He could really put it to the test.
Yes. He'll see if that how many times they'll be cool with the lifetime guarantee. Uh-huh. He'll beat up some luggage. So you can tell Terry's not in this for this ad read. Right on, Terry. All right, go to awaytravel.com/WDW20. Promo code WDW20. That's 20, and you get $20 off your order. And now, what were we talking about? Ron said, FYI, there is already an Australian-based attraction just about 45 minutes north of Nashville called Kentucky Down Under. They have all kinds of animals. I've heard about that.
Yeah.
I have seen the brochure, and I'll be honest, Ron, it scared me a little. There's also in Huntsville a drive-through safari that, like, they're like,
don't bring
your nice cars, which, yeah, by the way, it's like, who has, like, the option?
Oh, this is my safari car.
Because they talk, because they get... He get hit.
like animals rhinos, like, bump into the car, and like an ostrich will like peck at the car.
So it's kept me from going every time we're in Huntsville. Mike said, how about an attraction, Mickey Mouse and Friends? It all started with a mouse anyway.
I've actually got a thought about doing
there used to be
Steamboat Willie attraction. It is the very first.
Everyone whistles on it. The whole attraction.
All right, we'll go back to what you're saying.
It would just be cool to have an attraction that's all black and white.
That would be cool.
In such a world where everything is color and everything's new, but you get to see, you know, even you could even use that idea. I think one of the guys in our, Mike mentioned in the Producers Club as we're doing this live, you know, that it all started with a mouse. It all started with a mouse. Or even imagine if you took the Mickey Mouse journey through the years, that you started with Steamboat Willie and like,
I'd started playing crazy. Sorry, I just out-nerded you. Go ahead.
Well, obviously, I know. But most people don't know crazy.
Well, I don't make a
connection. There's about to be a throwdown right here, guys. Logan called out Terry.
I know.
And Terry, and Logan goes, I just out-nerded you. And Terry got all defensive. Like, I know that. I know that. And then Lee's going to come back, and there's going to be this water bottle's going to get slung across here. Hit Logan in the face. Logan's going to take his glasses off. And when he takes his glasses off, folks, you know that business is about to happen.
When I take my glasses off, you know I can't see anything.
You can't see anything, so he's going to be bumping into things, flipping tables over. It's going to get real crazy.
That's what happens WrestleMania week. That's what happens.
Uh-huh. This is WrestleMania week.
Logan's going to do a power bomb onto this desk.
Assuming Goldberg lost Sunday when you're hearing this, I'm already mad.
Yeah.
So it's you know that it's not going to take long to get me wound up.
Ron's got a good idea.
Yeah, and Keith actually quickly, though, before we get to Ron, said, is the rumor true that the Great Movie Ride would become Mickey's Ride? That's just a rumor. I you can say the Great Mickey Ride when they're going to switch it over to that concept. Very similar to what you said. I think that is something that is definitely being talked about when the TCM contract expires. But until you hear it from Disney, it's all a rumor. I mean, it's just the truth.
They would just keep it in the theater, keep the Chinese theater icon, and then just kind of build a new...
Right, just change out the things you go through. So you go through all of Mickey's experiences.
I like that.
Ron says, it's also worth the trip. There's a dinosaur land attraction nearby. I've been there.
He's talking about Kentucky Down Under. I'm going to be honest with you. The entire time I've been thinking Kentucky Downs, which is the race park. Like, there's a track in Franklin,
like
Kentucky.
And it's like a
fake
casino.
You lose a lot of money
it's
there.
It's very confusing.
It's expensive, too.
You use slot machines that are linked to previously run.
Yeah, the odds are tied to previous races. And if you want to watch the race, you actually can watch it. But they don't tell you what it is. And they're like... they disguise the horses so that you can't like cheat as though you could go through every past historical race
it's the weirdest loophole ever
and and like tie that together in the quick moment that you have to pick your horse before it runs. I don't know. Anyhow, that's a real thing. So that's not what Ron was talking about. He was talking about the adventure park,
right?
Not the race park.
And I've been to the dinosaur land pretty recently, the last 6 months or so, and it's a blast. My son loved it. We spent a long time there. An annual pass is like $31, which is a better deal than that Sleepy Hollow thing that's coming out. I'm just kidding. I know. It gets on Terry's nerves, so I do it. Let's see if there's any other ones that pop in your guys' head that would be a fun attraction.
Well, you didn't give yours yet, did you?
Yeah, I said DuckTales.
You did give yours already, so.
I didn't say what it would be like. To me, see, I always go a little too old school with it.
Like, you got to dive into the gold.
You do. Like that's sort of like the moment in the Indiana Jones attraction at Disneyland. The ball is rolling, all the gold is coming at you, and then you dive under it. That'd be pretty rad. So Scrooge McDuck's Forbidden Journey.
That being said, he did say, what's a realistic attraction that you wish Disney would add? Mine really wasn't realistic, so I will go back. I think a realistic... See, here's the problem. A lot of the animated films that I really like that I feel like would have been realistic at the time, like Robin Hood or even The Jungle Book. Like, I'm kind of shocked there isn't a Jungle Book.
And they tried that last year.
Exactly. And so...
That went well.
Those aren't actually realistic anymore. For me to say, oh, I bet they do that. But I could see a Moana thing coming soon, like potentially an attraction. It did well as a film.
That's interesting thought, because other than Frozen,
right?
It's taken like decades to, like Little Mermaid opened, what, like 10 years ago now? Right. Mm-hmm. When was New Fantasyland? Somewhere around. That's been about almost 10 years, probably, right?
Six, seven, ten,
something like that. I mean, we could find out very quickly. Little Mermaid... Ride, Disney World. It opened.
Well, it opened in California Adventure.
Well, I'm not looking for that though, Terry.
All right.
It opened in 2012. So yeah, about 5 years ago. We got it. It's been a long 5 years.
Uh-huh.
It feels like it's been a lot longer than that. But it took what 20 something years till they from 1986 to almost 20 years, 86 to 2012 to get a ride. Other than Frozen, it usually takes a long time. It has to be very, very, very established. Like the Little Mermaid, like it ain't going anywhere. Kids are going to always like it.
Do you think maybe adding on to, like, you can go to the Beauty and the Beast dinner and such, do you think maybe adding a ride with the hit of the new movie could be a possibility? Like, you can go to Gaston's place and
there's
things
so
like
much,
that.
There's so much, though. Well, they already have that. You can go to Gaston's.
No, I'm saying you can do that now.
Like, also add a ride element?
Yeah,
like,
I'm saying, do they expand that because they already
so
kind of...
So much already, though.
They set themselves up for it, though, by putting those things in and then having
the
movie
come
out. I feel like they should have actually coincided the release.
Mike said, I would like for Imagineering to create a new idea instead of adapting a movie or show. Yes, great.
They tried that, Alien Encounter.
Honestly, I just don't see it happening. It's not the model, and though I don't disagree with you, you're talking about a handful of attractions that are now classics that really make that concept a reality, and that was kind of in a pre-IP world. I just don't see it happening. I think, because really you have, before they were movies, what, you got Haunted Mansion, I mean, you could say like the Tiki Room, Country Bears, Pirates, really Adventureland, and a lot of the original attractions were that, but I just don't see them spending that much money on an attraction that
doesn't
have some sort of
audience. And what they also end up doing is making a movie about it.
So what the reality is if they don't do it movie to attraction, they're going to end up doing an attraction to movie.
Right. So
they're going
and
to,
the movie that goes that way, typically the success is successful movie, successful attraction.
Yeah, not the
but
other
if
way
you
around.
Think about the flip side of that,
it's pirates,
successful attraction. Because the Haunted Mansion,
Haunted Mansion did horribly.
Country, I love Tomorrowland, but it didn't.
Country Bears did horribly. Tomorrowland did terribly.
Love that movie.
I like all of those movies. I like the Haunted Mansion is a little, I'm on the edge. But Country Bears, I actually think it's a really fun movie.
Yeah,
it just
I
probably
like,
should have
I
never
like the
been...
first one, Almost Famous, better.
Yes, but then
the
when
sequel,
they added Bears.
Country Bears was good. It was good.
But you know, that's like the most random cameos, too, of any movie.
Elton John.
Yeah. But there are some news elements probably we should touch on for those traveling to Walt Disney World soon.
Mm-hmm.
One is, what do we got?
Well, first is the new security screening at the TTC.
Look up, has that gone into effect?
April 3rd.
April 3rd. So two days ago.
Yep.
So I'm there right now when you're hearing this, so I will let you know how this goes. But what essentially the change is instead of now at the Magic Kingdom going through security, you will go through security at any point of which you are to enter a monorail or walk over from the hotel.
So right now, from what I understand, each monorail is going to have a security checkpoint.
Yeah, each
buses will be a security checkpoint. The boats will check on the dock they're building.
Yeah, every right time you get in transportation.
Boats and buses will be post. Monorail is pre, and then the transportation center is before.
And even the walkway between the Contemporary and the Magic Kingdom.
I think there's already a security checkpoint there.
There's like an unofficial one there, but I think they are making that like a permanent, it's there, which is my preferred method of transportation.
Which I think is great because you're spreading the choke points out over a large area.
It's the universal concept here. I mean,
absolutely.
I know how you hate it, but it's just true. When Will and I just experienced it a couple weeks ago. I mean, we experienced it, Terry and I, when we were walking over from the hotel, from the Hard Rock Hotel to Universal Studios Florida. Mm-hmm. They had this security checkpoint. We just experienced it. Will and I went to the normal, not even the valet. Like we went with the common folk and got dropped off by an Uber at the traditional Universal parking lot. And there was 20 stations, mm-hmm. which is probably, I don't know how they're going to do this there. 20, it helps there's one in entry, one out. 20, if not more, what are similar to airport security stations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you flew through.
Yeah, I would say more like a sporting event security now where you put
your bag in a thing.
You put your phone. Oh, that's right. I forgot they had to have that.
Yeah. Yeah.
In my mind, I was thinking about the just dropping the old keys and cell phone in a little bucket.
We didn't have a bag with us.
That's right. We went through. They had a non-bag line, but I forgot they did have the X-ray machine. So it was intense.
I don't know if they said they were going to do that.
You did feel very secure.
Yes.
I did. Because
once you're in,
it.
You were just like, all right, we're good.
I really like this because last time I was on the monorail, I had that thought like, oh my gosh, you know?
Yeah, there's
what if somebody got on the monorail?
It's like you're getting on any train. I mean, it's like any train in America other than
absolutely.
Now there's like dogs. There's like so few security that it feels weird. But you're right. I mean, not to invoke fear. It's just that helps.
No.
And what it mainly does is alleviate that huge backup that's happening right now at the Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
To where in the morning it is insane to get in. And I look forward to seeing, and they've tried to alleviate that now with the way they do rope drop. Now that they don't do rope drop, essentially, you get multiple drops at different locations. And I think you're going to see that stuff start to improve and the time pick up with that. So
I would expect this is going to come to Epcot.
Where
you're
going
to walk down the ramp, and they're going to route those people around security.
Yeah, well,
because they've been through it at TTC.
If you've already been to it there, you're going to go straight to just going to the park. It's just what's going to happen. It's sadly the world we live in, but it's also implementing it the best way. I know I've seen some people be not upset, but in a way go, man, this is really going to hurt like monorail crawling and going, hey, I want to go from a restaurant to a restaurant, or I want to go to a bar, because now there's going to be a backup of security each time. And yes, that's true. You're going to have to allocate an extra bit of time. When you go from the monorail to another resort. What it does also help in some ways is alleviate the people that just ride the monorail.
Yeah.
They just get on the monorail just to hang out for a few hours and end up causing so much backup, which happens more often than you think.
I think that we've hit that. Do you want to hit the other news item real quick about the virtual queues?
Yeah. So someone brought this up, that the virtual waiting, which we talked about, Jimmy Fallon's attraction at Universal implementing, and now we can actually explain how that works, which is a pretty unique system. It's not what we predicted necessarily. I mean, some of it's FastPass Plus and some of it's not, but they've announced that that's going to be coming to the water parks, at least some of the attractions at the water parks soon, this season. Volcano Bay is rolling it out completely, so that's going to be at the new Universal Water Park, and there's no waiting. And what they've done with virtual waiting is essentially corralling you in a different way. So if the Jimmy Fallon ride is the basis that we're going on, what virtual waiting means is, so you're given, unless you have an express pass, a return time, much like a fast pass. So either a paper one in the case of Jimmy Fallon, or a one on your phone that you check in on and get that day get your appointment time. Then once you enter the first a room of the what is now the Tonight Show Museum, you're given a card with a color on it, and You hang out in the museum, look at all the Tonight Show memorabilia, charge your phone, do whatever you want to do. The ceiling lights change colors to your color that matches your card. You move to the next room. In the next room, there's a show, a like stage show. And I don't want to spoil it for people if you haven't seen it. That is Jimmy Fallon based. And then when that show is over, you are then moved into the attraction. So it's, and it's never a line up here, line up here, line up here. I think until the very end of getting you into your spot. So it's a little bit of a misnomer, but what it is very similar, like you said, with the Dumbo attraction, but now appealing to the masses, in doing it a creative way.
And you have to physically go up to the ride to check in.
No.
That's where it's, oh, so see, that was what I thought it was, where that you didn't, it was right. Different from the Fast Pass in that you had to walk up and still check in.
That's what we were expecting, but no, that it has, that's not the case.
So it,
sometimes
it's
you
just,
do have to be in the park.
The only way to do it now to get the ride is Fast Pass style.
Right, or Express Pass. And the Express Pass will get you into...
Bypass everything.
I don't think everything. I haven't tried it yet, but I believe it gets you just without having to come back at a certain time. It gets you into the first room. Because what they're trying to train people, and I think Disney's going to do this too, is this experience is the attraction.
Yeah.
The ride part is not the attraction. It's part of the attraction.
The whole thing is.
So I think people have been like, oh man, the museum part was great, but the ride was kind of disappointing. It's like, well, no, that's think of that as a package.
Yeah.
Think about the pre-show and all that. It's not even a pre-show. Think of this all as one thing you're doing. I think that doesn't necessarily apply to a water park.
Yeah, so at a water park, how does that work? Because you're obviously, for the 98% of the people aren't going to go and get the waterproof plastic bag to go over their phone.
Oh, well, if Volcano Bay, and I can't touch on what is at Disney because they just announced this, I don't have a lot of information, is you get a Magic Band type thing that has a display that's waterproof that you return at the end of the day. And you check in and you wait and you go back and there's a very small area. Wait and you do your ride. And yeah, so I mean, that's it. And the world's going to turn that way the longer we get.
I mean, I like it. I think it makes the...
No, it's great.
It takes the pain... All of this is about taking the pain points away from the people experiencing the attractions, taking away the things that everybody says. I mean, that's why they spent so much money on Fast Pass Plus in the beginning was, let's make people feel like they never have to wait in the line.
And that is one of like the odd things about progress in the future, and like they can serve more people, but there's still physical constraints on getting through an attraction. And waiting in line. And the more people they can bring in because they build more things and they expand the park, but people are still going to the new attractions or the popular attractions. Like, there's still pressure points where people bottleneck and where time expands and you end up waiting a while. It almost seems like this is a little past due, these kind of changes and ideas. Like, why is it 2017 this is happening? Like, we've been able to... You know, you can get stuff overnighted and same day delivery. So like logistics as a science is much further ahead, I feel like, than the logistics of theme park running until this now, which is really going to help. But even the fact that, you know, you had to book fast passes 3 months in advance or whatever, just right. to like that seems absurd to me. That and that's like, man, I couldn't get fast passes for something.
Right.
Like, where are the engineers that focus on logistics, not just the building of the ride? I think Imagineering as a team, which it looks like they're starting to try this now, but this should be something that should have been focused on for a long time, is how to engineer the logistics and the flow of the park to sufficiently alleviate that more than they've done.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think you're going to see this continue to grow because it's the number one gripe. It's the number one people our age wouldn't bring their kids to Disney World. It's the reason that I'm traveling next week and my brother-in-law is not coming. His wife is bringing the kids, but he's like, I'm not dealing with that mess again. That's why plenty of people go here and say it was the most miserable trip of their life, that there was no relaxation in it. It's why I told my wife, actually, the last trip, I need a break. We need to go somewhere else. So I'm going to WrestleMania.
I'm going somewhere else. Orlando proper.
Yeah, well, Dylan in the studio is giving me the too sweet, and I feel that way. Because you know what? There's nothing more relaxing. It's like when we saw David Allen Coe in a dirt track. There's nothing more relaxing than that experience.
Yeah, except for the high anxiety moments of the people breaking out in fights and us literally plotting, okay,
an escape plan.
When the riot happens, where do we go and where do we meet up? So other than that, most relaxing night of my life.
My favorite part of that entire, so we literally saw a country music concert on a dirt track. It was like a festival.
Yeah, Rockin' the Duck.
Rockin' the Duck at the Duck Track in Shelbyville, Tennessee.
The dirt track at the Duck River.
All on the track.
Yeah.
Like we were sitting on the dirt. We brought our own tailgate chairs. And I remember my favorite part of that is there's a sign which would be like at the playground, which usually says like, please supervise your children. Do not leave your children alone.
Yeah, no one supervised.
It said something to the effect of, please check on your children from time to time. that's hopefully we have a lot of listeners in Shelbyville.
Rockin' the Duck.
I never came back. It was a one-time only event. We got a picture with a duck who was like,
they were saying, next year's going to be great.
Well, first year
didn't happen.
Yeah. Shout out to I'm trying to think, what was some of those openers? One had a great, I forget the name.
Oh, goodness. The bands, they were cover bands.
One cover. Oh. Yeah. All right, this is off Disney, but it's funny.
I love this.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the one band, and they had a great name. I wish I could remember it.
I'll find it.
But they played their whole set.
Which was a good 90 minutes.
Great. It's like you could tell they kept having to add songs to what they were expecting to play because David Allan Coe wasn't at the track yet. And literally, they like announced, like, hey, we're going to come up here in a little bit and let you know where to go if you got the meet and greet passes and everything. And they go back on and play another 30 minutes. Well,
Raisin Cane.
Raisin Cane. Yes, that was them.
And it's R-A-Y-Z.
Yeah, Raisin.
Apostrophe N. Yeah.
So Raisin Cane got through their set, which had some great 90s hits.
California Raisin Cane.
Uh-huh. And you could tell they ran out of material.
Yes.
And I kid you not, they started their set over.
Who wants to hear more than a feeling again?
And just started playing straight through. And they played another 30 to 40 minutes.
And he finally rolled in.
And he finally rolled in.
And they win the money. And we have a great picture with him.
So great.
All right.
So speaking of riots, I really do think.
I really do think. Speaking
of Halloween. This virtual. I was about to say that. You got me. You beat me to it. This whole virtual queue thing is to avoid the riots that are going to ensue when Star Wars Land's open in a couple of years. And, you know, everyone's been, the Pandora Fast Pass experiences have started. You know, if you're not staying on Disney property, you're not getting Fast Passes to Pandora. They've got to figure out what to do as Star Wars Land opens on both coasts.
Right.
Of how to make that experience where people are paying the big money to come. You know,
so I talked to a travel agent this morning. Yeah.
They're like, we are building up our system to prepare for Disney demand when Star Wars Land opens.
And better get it right,
demand
y'all.
The land. I want Virtual Q to be like a Siri,
uh-huh.
But it's by John Delancey, who played Q in The Next Generation.
The weirdest character of all time.
Virtual Q. He was kind of virtual.
Yeah, well, he was a shapeshifter, wasn't he?
He's an omnipresent being.
Yeah.
Hello, Picard.
Where'd you come from, Q?
We've covered
best
WWE.
He's only like eight
Star
episodes
Trek.
Of the best
Is there
episodes.
I have one distinct Q memory of an episode where he knocks on the door and somebody opens and it's not Picard. And he's got like flowers being delivered. And he goes, like, is there a John Luke Pickard here?
And he gets
great line.
He gets like disappointed.
Yeah, great line. Yeah,
I love it. All right. Well, I feel like we've covered a lot of bases here today.
Uh-huh.
This is what happens.
Maybe too many.
If you want to join the live shows like this, where it goes a little off the rails, but we have a lot of fun, and you get to help with what our next four shows are going to be, and you get an exclusive show each and every week that's just for our Patreon subscribers, make sure you log on over to patreon.com/WDW today and use the promo code. I'm just kidding. Just go over there and subscribe. There's $5 level, which doesn't get you this, but it gets you that extra live show each week. And then the $10 level, you get to help us in the Producers Club decide what the next four shows are going to be. Plus, you get to watch the first show of probably each month, roughly. So it'll be a great time. We have a lot of fun talking with you guys. That's at patreon.com/WDW today. Again, we're going to be on the Pod Cruise, so come join us out there. Again, that's podcruise.com. Me and Will and Terry, Scare Zone listeners are going to be out there, and Scare Zone crew, the BLT crew, minus Tim right now. Tim's trying to work it out. We got the podcast guys are going to be out there.
Woo!
Ears of Steel, Bart Scott, he'll be there. Terry's going to be there repping his brands. It's going to be a great time. 3 days on the Norwegian Epic, three nights. Not 3 days. That's a very short cruise. 3 nights on the Norwegian Epic coming next March. But right now it's $50 to get your deposit in, to reserve your room, fully refundable. This is by far the best deal you're going to get. You get that all-you-can-drink package. I don't think that's what they call it. They call it like the ultimate drinking
extravagant beverage experience.
Yeah. Obviously food. You have a bunch of upgrades you can do, and we get you some great deals. Talk to Tony and all of our friends over at podcruise.com.
I also know for a fact, and this is from the podcast, but the Grease has already said if he hits a jackpot or does really well at the blackjack tables on night one or two, night three, he's renting the bowling alley for the entire night, like until we're into port.
If that's a thing you could do.
Well, I mean, yes. Allegedly, if this is possible,
yes.
He's going to throw down and we're going to have a bowling party until we go into port.
Then we get deported.
We do deport.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Well, if not, we'll find the closest bowling alley in Nassau we can rent out. I'm sure it's the finest establishment.
Oh, yeah.
UK, find out more. That sounds great.
It's like candlestick bowling. It's not even the kind that we know how to do.
We are
going to
do the podcast in this cool, what's it called, the Bliss Lounge. We're going to be doing the podcast there. We have like 5 hours scheduled right now in the Bliss Lounge over the course of a couple days, doing all our shows, talking, hanging out.
So imagine what we've done right now times five.
No, not just us, thankfully.
We're going to have a drink package.
We will be hanging out and having some fun. Again, that is at podcruise.com. Is that it? Anything else, guys?
I like it.
All right, that's going to do it for this week on WDW Today. Hopefully, I see you guys down there. If not, I will be back, I'm sure, soon. Terry's probably coming back to Disney World. When are you going next, Terry? I feel like I saw a reservation.
He has something on, like, next Thursday.
Because Terry and I have linked accounts. I feel like I saw it. Do you have something coming up?
June.
In Saratoga?
Saratoga, June.
Yeah, I read Terry's
after
emails now. It's like
after the thing, I'm going to do 2 days.
Oh, yeah. And the thing, you can plug the thing.
Yeah. So the thing is an event that I'm doing in Orlando for entrepreneurs and leaders and with some really cool Disney experiences. We're going to spend a day for the VIP people to sign up for the VIP package. A day at Disney World with former Disney Imagineer McNair Wilson. McNair created Street and a Sphere, just kind of talking about the Disney creation process. And it'll be super fun. Be a great event. You can find out more at the thing. Live, and if you use the code WDW today, you get $200 off.
There you go.
I would love to have you guys join me at the thing.
All right. That's going to do it. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And we'll see you on the next show. Some loyal heart is your memory enshrined. Although you died back in 1916, that loyal heart.